So 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17 down to verse 25. The Word of God says, "But when the Philistines heard that they anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there, and said, The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me, as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry tree, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba on till thou come to Gazer." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. What I want to speak to you tonight, God willing, and on the next time, in 2 weeks' time, is the sound of God going in the mulberry trees. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3, records a special occasion in the time of the life of King David, whenever the elders of Israel anointed David king over all Israel. You'll remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the prophet Samuel, under the direction of God, had chosen David to be the next king of Israel. However, David did not actually ascend the throne until about 18 years later, whenever he was crowned king in the city of Hebron, where he reigned for 7 years and 6 months, but that was only over Judah. The time had now come when David was recognized and anointed as king within the entire realm of Israel. All the tribes for the first time recognized him as the rightful king. And then he moved his seat to the throne of Jerusalem, where he continued his reign. Verse 17 records, "At this time, the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel. All the Philistines came up to seek David." It's evident that David was now the target of the Philistines. The reason being, Asher, the former captain of Saul's host, recognized that whenever David had been raised as the deliverer of his people from the Philistines, that we learn in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18, the Lord had spoken of David, saying, "By the hand of my servant David will I save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And so there he gave this word that David would be the chosen deliverer, the one who would deliver Israel from the Philistines. And so on that basis, the Philistines know the deliverer has now come to the throne. And in verse 18, they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. That valley was outside Jerusalem. And at that time, when the enemy had come up and they spread themselves at the valley of Rephaim, verse 19, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And so he waits on the Lord. And the Lord said unto David, "Go up." The Lord gave David victory over the enemy. God delivered the Philistines into his hand. And surely there is a lesson there for us, child of God. As we continually seek the Lord, as we inquire of the Lord, we will experience victory over every enemy attack. And therefore, make no mistake, a praying people will be a victorious people. A praying Christian will be a victorious Christian. And therefore, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Inquire of the Lord. Come before God in prayer, and you will know the blessing of God in your life. We learn in verse 22, after the Philistines were defeated, the Philistines came up yet again. And we ought not to let that phrase or those words bypass us. The Philistines came up the first time. David sought God. God told him, go fight the Philistines. And David won a great victory. But now the Philistines have come up again, if you like. This is round two. And they set themselves again in the valley of Rephaim. They've come up yet again. They've come up to seek David again. And therefore, there's another lesson. The enemy will keep coming up again and again and again. You may know victory at one point, but the enemy will come again and again. You may know victory over sin today, but tomorrow the enemy will come again for another battle. Because the enemy's aim is for you not to go on with God. The cause of the enemy is that the work of God will cease. That the sword of the Lord, which is the Bible, that you will not use it in prayer or in ministry. The enemy will come up again whenever you seek to prayer, to pray. Oh, I guarantee, whenever you have a time of prayer and you are blessed and you go to enter into prayer again, how the enemy will come again to try and hinder you in the place of prayer. When you're praying for souls to be saved, the enemy will come again. The enemy will come again to tempt you, not to evangelize. The enemy comes up again. And we must learn that. Whenever we come to God's house on a Sunday and we're fed by the Word of God, be sure the enemy will come again. Whenever you have a time of prayer on Monday night, as we've done this week again, and knowing the blessing of the Lord, the enemy will come up again. The enemy will seek to surround as they did David in order to attack. You look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, and you learn during his temptation, the devil came three times. The first time he was tempted, he won the victory. And then the devil came again, and the Lord won the victory. And then the devil came a third time, and the Lord again won the victory. And so just as the devil kept coming to tempt the Lord, he came again. He came again. So make sure in your life, in my life, the world, the devil, and the flesh will come again and come again and come again. The devil wants a Christian who does not pray. The devil wants a Christian who doesn't read the Word. The devil wants a Christian who will not attend God's house. The devil will come again and again and again. And so we learn vital lessons in this passage. Verse 23, there's vital words for us to take note of. And there's so much simplicity in this passage that we must not let it pass us by. Because what we're going to say next is where many fall in the battle. Where many fail when the devil, the enemies of the Lord, come up again. The Philistines came up yet again. They've set up camp again to fight against David. They're not backing down. They're not retreating. They're coming again. David inquired of the Lord. Now, the first time when David inquired of the Lord, it was, what should he do? And now the second time, David inquires of the Lord again what he should do. And that's the key. That's the important. David sought God again. The first time the enemy came, David sought God in prayer. God gave him a word, and on that word, David obeyed and won victory. Now the enemy has come up again. What does David do? He seeks God again. You see, David did not go up to fight again without seeking the Lord. He didn't get complacent. He didn't rely on past victories. He didn't say, do you know what? I defeated these Philistines last time with the Lord's help. Now I can go ahead again and fight them. He just didn't go up as before. He gained one victory by the word and strength of God. And therefore, he wanted to have the same by the word of God. And so as David would go before the Lord in prayer, he wanted to know the mind of God. Lord, what should I do in this situation? And it's interesting to note, this is where Samson fell short. You remember Samson in the Bible. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, Samson is the strongest man to live. You read his account in Judges chapter 13 through 16. He was a mighty man in battle. And we learn that he slew the Philistines as one man. Just think about that. One man took the jawbone of an ass and slew the Philistines. What a victory that was. He enjoyed victory after victory because he depended upon the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. He experienced the movings of God in his life. Samson knew the power of God in his life. But when he fell into sin, he lost power with God. And when the enemies came up again, we learn that Samson went out as other times. But this time, he was defeated. He went out without the strength of God. And he lost the battle. We learn the Lord Jesus telling the disciples in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. David said to the Lord, shall I go up? He inquired of the Lord. And it's interesting, if David had not have done that, he just would have went on ahead. But interesting to note, in verse 21, the Lord answers, thou shalt not go. Isn't that amazing? Oh, the first time the Lord said, go. But now David inquires again. But this time, the Lord says, thou shalt not go. Why is that? Because the Lord would give David a sign to show that as he would go, his presence would be heard by the sound of the wind in the mulberry trees. David was to wait for the sound of marching, the sound of the mulberry trees. And then only was David to go and fight, and David would have victory. God gave David specific commands. God gave David a particular word that he was to obey if he was to earn, or if he was to experience victory. And therefore, child of God, let us learn from David's life not to take any steps without the Lord. Whether that decision is about location, about education, employment, housing, a place to live, a place to serve, whatever it may be, always inquire of the Lord. And until the Lord answers, stay where you are. Don't move without the Lord. Don't take a step without a word from God. Otherwise, we will do ourselves harm. We will fall in the bypath meadow, and we will become like Samson, who wished that the Lord had not departed from him. In every decision, we are to glorify the Lord. So verse 21, the Lord said to David, "Thou shalt not go." But instead, God gave David a sign that he was not to go into battle. He was not to move. He was not to fight the Philistines until he heard the sound of wind blowing upon the top of the mulberry trees. And you may ask the question, why? And Scripture gives the answer, verse 24, "For then the Lord shall go out before thee." The Lord is the captain of salvation. He is the Lord of hosts. And therefore He leads His people into victory, into battle, by His command. It was a sign to David, "I am among my people, and you have my presence with you." The sound of the wind upon the mulberry tree was the sound of God moving among His people. It was that symbol, that sound, that indication that God was at work and the people would know it. And with that in view, may we pray and may we know the Lord's moving among us as a congregation, as individuals in this city. May we not seek to do anything without the Lord, whether it's evangelism, whether it's a particular work in the church for the Lord, whatever it may be, without seeking the Lord. When you go around to evangelize, don't just flippantly go up the door and start banging on the door. Rather, seek God in prayer. "Lord, as I go around the houses, go with me, go before me, prepare the heart." As you come to God's house, don't just rush in. Rather, pray, "Lord, have a word for me tonight. May I know the movings of God in my soul." Would you pray for this Lord's Day? Lord, as we come to God's house this Sunday, may there be a moving of God among us. May we know, like David and the men, God is among His people. May we leave and say, "God is here," and that to bless us. I'm only going to cover one point tonight. That is my usual bad habit, I suppose, in this. But we'll get to the second point in 2 weeks' time. But I hope it's practical for you. As we think of the sound of God moving in the mulberry trees, the first point, and the only point I want to focus on tonight, and one sub-point, is really David was to be alert for the moving of the Lord. David was to be alert for the moving of the Lord. Verse 25, "And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt bestir thyself." Now we'll go into those words, God willing, greater detail in the next message. But just for now, when the Lord said, "When thou hearest the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry tree." So David is to be alert for this sound. When thou hearest. And that word "when" signifies a certain time, a particular time when the Lord will move among His people, when the Lord will visit His vine. And so we're praying for that particular time in our own life and in this congregation when the Lord will move among us. Notice tonight, and the only point as we look under David is to be alert. David is to be alert. David must be locational. This deals with location. David must be at a certain place, at a certain time. David and his men are at Jerusalem in the city. However, the Lord makes it known that the sound that they need to be alert to, the sound that they need to hear, will be on the tops of the mulberry trees. And therefore, David must get to that place. Verse 23, the Lord gives David direction concerning this location. Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. So David is to go behind them at the mulberry trees. He's to wait at the trees. And whenever he hears this sound of a mighty wind, a sound of like a rushing army, because that's what that word, the sound of the mulberry trees, it means the sound of marching. It refers to the marching of an army. At that time, then go up and attack. At that time, go up and fight. At that time, go and win the battle. But now, just go behind them and wait at the mulberry trees until you hear the sound. But to do that, David must go to a certain place. He must leave Jerusalem, the city, and go to where these mulberry trees are. The word for mulberry, or the mulberry trees, is the word the balsam tree. And that's a wonderful picture in itself. That's the tree, as you learn in Jeremiah chapter 8, where that tree is cut into by the physician, and the gum or the ooze or the ointment comes out, and it was used for applying to wounds. So here is a wonderful picture. We'll not go into that right now, but the point is this. This is just outside Jerusalem. So David and his men must be in the right position. They must be in the right place. They must be where God has told them to be in order to hear the sound of marching, the sound of wind, the sound of the mulberry trees. They must be in the right place where God has them to be, for them to know God is going to work. Had they remained in Jerusalem, had they stayed where they were, they would have missed God at work. They need to be at the place and wait for the sound of a going, the voice of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. And throughout the Word of God, we learn that the Lord teaches His children to be at certain locations in order to know His blessing. You think of Luke chapter 24. The Lord Jesus, after His resurrection from the dead, and just before His ascension into heaven, said to His apostles in Luke 24, verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you." Now here's the key word. "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." That's Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Here's the instruction about location. God's going to move. He's going to work. He's going to do a great work through His men, through His servants. But they must be in the right place. They must stay in the right place. They must wait for His instruction. Tarry. He's told them, "I will send the promise of the Father upon you. The power of the Holy Spirit will move among you in great power. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem." Tarry there. The word tarry means to remain. Stay there. Wait there. I have a purpose. You are to wait there until you be endued with power from on high. The word endued in Luke chapter 24, verse 49 is a wonderful word. It's one of those words to feast on. It's like a lunchbox for a child where you open up the lunchbox and there's good things inside to feast on. Well, this word endued means to be clothed. Until you be endued, clothed with power from on high. The picture is of someone putting on a garment. They're being covered. They're being clothed. Something is upon them. And so the Lord's saying, stay at Jerusalem. I will send the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. He will come upon you. He will clothe you. He will endue you with power. And as they were in the right place, they knew the moving of God among them. You read the book of Acts, and you'll see how the power of the Holy Ghost moved mightily through these men. Again, read Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. Read on chapter 4, many passages that we could mention. Why? Because they were where God wanted them to be. They were in the place the Lord told them to be. And when they were there, He said, wait, tarry there. Don't leave, because if they did, they would miss the blessing. Wait there, tarry there, stay there until you are clothed with power, until the Spirit comes upon you in great power and blessing. And we learn on that day when Peter preached, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And thousands, 3,000 were saved on that occasion. Charles Spurgeon said this, a single word spoken in the strength of God will effect far more than 10,000 words uttered in the power of mere reasoning or eloquence or even earnestness. Therefore, child of God, we must be alert to the movings of the Lord. Can I ask, are you in the right place with God? And I don't mean as in here tonight. I mean spiritually. Are you in the right place with God? Are you in the place right now where God wants to come with great power and use your life? Are you in tune with God? Are you walking with God? Are you waiting, like these disciples, to be clothed with power from on high? Are you in the place where God wants you to be with Him like David, that you can wait to hear God moving among you in great power? Because remember, one particular Lord's Day, just in closing, in John chapter 20, remember, after the resurrection, the Lord came and stood in the midst of His disciples. That means He stood right in the middle of His disciples. All eyes were on Him. And He showed them His wounds, the nail prints, His sufferings. He spoke a word to them in comfort. He said, peace be still. And the Lord appeared to His disciples, but we learn one disciple named Thomas was not in the right location. Thomas was not there that time when the Lord passed by, when the Lord came to meet with His people, when the Lord came to give a word to His disciples of comfort, of the assurance that He died for them, that He has now risen for them. Thomas was not there. The Bible says, then John chapter 20, verse 24, Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. And that's a shame. That's a heartbreak. Could you imagine hearing of a Sunday or a prayer meeting or a Bible study? God came down in great blessing. God came down in great power. But you were not there when the Savior came. We learn verse 25, whenever Thomas came, the disciples told Thomas, therefore they said unto him, we have seen the Lord, Thomas. We have seen the Lord. And Thomas was not there. He actually didn't even believe them. He didn't come. He didn't believe them. It'd be like saying, God blessed us in that prayer meeting. You were not there. You missed the blessing of God. Well, I don't believe it because any other time I haven't been blessed. God blessed us that particular day. Well, I don't really believe it. But on this occasion, God came down in great power. But we learn a number of days later, a week later, on the Sabbath day again, whenever Thomas was there, the Lord came again and met with Thomas. And so I'm saying to you, when you're in the place where God wants you to be. Yes, there is a location in a sense, being a church, having your own private times at home with God, being in those particular places, God will bless you. But also spiritually, are you in tune with God? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you in the place where God can come among you and bless you? David asked the Lord, "Shall I go up?" And the Lord said, "No, but instead go around the Philistines. Go to the mulberry trees. Wait there. Wait for the sound of a going on the top of the mulberry trees. Don't do anything until that time. And when you hear it, then bestir thyself. Get ready, get prepared, and you go out and get the victory. Because there you will know that I am moving among you. There you will know that I'm going before you. There you will know that you're going at my command and doing what I've asked you to do." And therefore, child of God, that's the lesson for us. God has a word for your heart and my heart. I want to see the Lord moving. I want to see the Lord coming in great power. But the Lord has taught us we must be in the right place with Him. We must be not only there locationally, as in having our time with God. Do you have a time set aside for a place in your house, a time for you seek God? It's also coming to God's house. I guarantee if people just stay at home or they go shopping and they don't come to God's house, they're not in the right location. They're not in the right place where God wants them to be. Are you in the right place with the Lord spiritually? Are you in the place where God can move mightily in the midst? Well, may we pray tonight that God will come and move among us. He'll prepare our hearts. Even tonight, if we're just praying, "Lord, prepare my heart like David, as he had to wait. Lord, as the disciples had to tarry at Jerusalem." So, Lord, even tonight, if you would have us tarry, if you would have us wait for what you're going to do, prepare my heart for blessing. Prepare my heart for the moving of God in great power. Lord, prepare me to be a channel of blessing. Prepare me to know the hand of God for His name's sake. Amen.